You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bill Plaschke, Woody Page, Kevin Blackstone, June Lee. Happy New Year? Question mark. Is it too late? Hey, Woody, look at your Avalanche. McCarr's move last night.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, look at your Lakers. A January win over Sacramento.
Oh, yeah, the King. The King is back.
And June, you're from Boston. We don't have accents, Brian Kelly says. Who knew? Let's go.
That's like Boston saying we don't like dumb game or we don't like sports. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Actually, I don't even hear your accent, though, June. Do you have a Boston
accent? That's beside the point.
We talked about MVP and who you got all the time. Have you ever wondered how NFL MVP is selected? It's different than NBA, where you have a first place, second place, third place votes. It's 50-person vote, reporters and analysts chosen independently from the league. One is Hob Arkish, who reports for Pro Football Weekly. And here's what Arkish said on 670 The Score in Chicago.
I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization, your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player.
We are told to pick the guy who we think is the most valuable to his team. And I don't think it says anywhere, you know, strictly on the field. I think he's a bad guy, you know, and I don't think a bad guy can be the most valuable guy at the same time.
A voter not voting for Aaron Rodgers because that voter deems him to be a jerk. Is this really how it's done? Around the horn, June Lee.
It's absolutely ridiculous because these awards should be completely based on a player's performance on the field. It should be nothing to do with the drama that was generated off of it. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers has had a very tumultuous year, but this has been a situation where you can also argue that Aaron Rodgers is not even the MVP because of his stats on the field. I mean, you look at what has happened with Pro Football Focus's wins above replacement. Rodgers is third behind Tom Brady and Joe Burrow. But you go back to all this, I think it's emblematic of a larger thing that happens in media where character and how a player's relationship with the media is often impacting the way that media rewards players with awards and Hall of Fame candidacies as a whole.
Your people, Kevin Blackstone, you're a professor of journalism at the University of Maryland. What is this?
Well, what this is a journalist has become part of the news cycle. And this is one of the problems when you have us involved in making these selections for these types of awards. I will say this in his defense, there are no rules. There is no criteria for this very rule. So if you want to say you don't like the way you perceive someone to be, and that's a reason for you not to vote for them, you can do that. If you like somebody's hair because it's blue and you want to vote for them for MVP, you can do that. It is ridiculous on the face of it.
There has to be some rules, Kevin.
There are no rules for this particular award, and that is part of the problem. The NFL can quickly fix this and say you have to pay attention only to the product on the field. And if you do that, then the MVP is going to go to Aaron Rodgers, I do believe. I think he's the most valuable player. And to call him a bad guy or a jerk, the only thing we know about Aaron Rodgers this past year is that he was dishonest about his vaccination, which is a mark against him. Does that make him a bad guy? I don't
dishonest
think so.
To media and, when asked about it.
Right.
I mean, the NFL and the Packers knew all along. Let's bring in Woody Page here. You voted for many awards for the NFL in the past, the Hall of Fame being one of them. How do you hear it when a voter says that guy's a jerk? Does that happen in the room, Woody?
Yes, I remember distinctly that a punter, Ray Guy, who was the greatest punter of all time up until that year, that he was up for selection, and a guy in the room said, I'll never vote for a punter, plus he's a jerk. And I went, really? Why should we be voting? Kevin Blackstone doesn't know this, but about 10 years ago, Kevin said, I'm not going to vote for any of these things anymore. And I said, he's right. Sports writers, and I'm sure the viewers will agree with us, shouldn't be voting for anything. Guess what, viewers? You as fans shouldn't be voting either. I don't think it should be players. I think there should be a minister of sports, one person, who votes for everything. Heisman Trophy, everything. Put it in one person's hands. So when people are upset,
are you serious or you got jokes? I know, I'm having a hard time following this. I'll bring in Bill Plaschke. Bill, what? Do you still vote? I know Kevin has recused himself from voting 10 years ago. Woody has voted up very recently. Bill, do you still vote?
Well, first, it's Minister of Sports Bill Plaschke. That's what you call me.
No, I'm
taking Woody. I'm taking Woody's job. No, I do not vote. Our newspaper has a policy against voting, and I'm thankful every day for it. Where our job is to report the news, not be the news. There's too many personal things, and this I think this happens a lot more than we think with Hub Arkish and what he said. A lot of writers get mad at players. A player blows them off. A player lies to them. I'm going to get you. I'm not going to vote for you. This happens a lot more than we think. Writers and journalists should not vote on these awards. Maybe broadcasters, maybe a panel of experts. But Aaron Rodgers, clearly the MVP. Led the league in, leads the league in touchdown percentage and lowest interception percentage. The last four quarterbacks to do that, all won MVP. He's the best player at the most important position for the best team in the league. He's the MVP, but the writers shouldn't vote.
Kevin, I want to go back to you. You said there are no rules on this vote. The vagaries here and what the word valuable means has always been a debate in all these awards. Right. But, I mean, just to extend it, Major League Baseball and the Hall of Fame voting has a character clause. And sometimes, well, reporters will then conflate that and put it on this sport. But the NFL has to make a statement on that, don't they?
You would think so. But, you know, there's a big difference between being enshrined in a Hall of Fame, right, for perpetuity, as opposed to just getting an award for the performance in one particular season. And to your point, going into all of this, that's what Mr. Arkish should understand. And that's why this is really a bogus kind of argument that he's made, because it's really in the spirit of this particular award is about what you do during the season on the field.
That's why I say we don't even know what the definition of most valuable player is. Can't decide on that. And so you may think I'm trying to be funny, but I'm not, Tony. I'm saying that this is all wrong. Take the sports writers out of it. Take the fans out of it. Bill brought it up. Pick a blue panel, a blue plate panel that really picks everything. I genuinely believe that.
And Bill Plaschke.
There's too much money involved. These players get bonuses for making All-NBA, for making MVP. Way too much money involved for us, the journalists, to be involved in.
Contract stipulations over who makes All-Pro, who makes the Pro Bowl. When you have all been in that room, you've seen the votes for Pro Bowl that are now split one-third, one-third, one-third. Some voters throw the vote away. They pick their favorite player. And this is what decides the Hall of Fame, the keepers of the keys, decides. This is, it's lunacy. We've been horned. And I say that as somebody who scores your guys' arguments every single day.
That's another problem.
We move on. Packers, meanwhile, with Aaron Rodgers, say they're going to play their guys on Sunday. It's versus Detroit, and they've already clinched the one seed. Bill, should they play their guys?
Absolutely not. They should go anywhere near the field. And I know the argument as well, they're going to have 3 weeks. They're going to be rusty. Well, guess what? Look, Sean McVay started this several years ago. A lot of players don't play at all in the preseason. They don't set foot on the field to the regular season, and it works. I mean, maybe they'll be slow for the first series of the playoffs, but that's it. They it's too risky. You can't get a guy hurt in a game that's meaningless in an exhibition game. You wouldn't play them again. They wouldn't play him in August 15th. Why are they going to play him now when it's so important? The playoffs upcoming. So no, rest them. Don't play him at all. Have difficult practice. You want some competition. Rodgers wants to get involved in some stuff. Have longer practices. Have tougher practices. Don't let him play.
Woody?
Well, you're not allowed, Bill, by the NFL agreement with the Players Association to have longer practices, so you can't do that. I thought, have an inter-squad game that's touch, if you want to, on days that you're practicing or not preparing for the next game. But you and I totally agree, if we were the coach, we wouldn't play any of our starters and probably a lot of our backups. But I think he has every right, LaFleur, to play his players if he wants to. A quarter, a half, he can play any of them for as long as he wants to. But he's going to have to account for it after the game. If an injury occurs, then he'll have to eat that. If it doesn't, everybody will say, you did the
right
thing.
Kevin, this is the NFL's first foray into the 17-game 18-week season. This is week 18. They've already clinched the one seed. Should the players be playing?
Absolutely not, because what you just said is what they're about to partake in is an exhibition game. It means absolutely nothing. And the last exhibition game, preseason game, as the NFL likes to call it now, of the year, you never play your starters. So you know what? And with the biggest story in the NFL this season being how many guys can't make the team, can't play because of COVID, on top of those who are on the injured reserve list, you do not let these guys get on the field. In fact, I would sequester them in that hotel across from Lambeau Field just so they stay safe away from this Omicron that's going around. Keep them
just
safe.
Just to throw
man,
an extra wrinkle in here, though, and it's the same thing we just said in the last discussion, June. There could be contract stipulations for players to be on the field this week. But with the one seed already clinched, should Green Bay be playing their starters against Detroit?
Yeah, especially considering how much practice pressure has been on the Packers this year to win because it's the last season, supposedly, of Aaron Rodgers being in Green Bay. They shouldn't be playing these guys, especially because it's the Detroit Lions and there's no stakes at all. I think back to 2010 when Wes Welker tore his ACL and Tom Brady didn't have one of his best receivers in the playoffs after that. That's something that could easily happen with Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers need to win in this window right now given the fact that they don't know if they're going to have their quarterback beyond this season. There's no reason to risk anything as they move into the playoffs.
Georgia and Alabama took 3 weeks off and they played well.
Mm-hmm. And Plaschke?
Yeah, some of their offensive linemen are coming back from injuries. All you need is Rodgers to take one bad hit. Are you kidding me? And if that would be all over LaFleur. It'd be all over Packer Nation. Bad move. Keep him off the
field. Bill Plaschke, 9 points. Rudy Page, 8 points. Kevin Blackenstone, 8 points. June Lee, 7. By herself, 2 minutes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Kyrie Irving's return to the Brooklyn Nets lineup tonight. Brooklyn's at Indy. Without him, they're 23-12, the 2 seed in the conference. With him only for road games, as he remains unvaccinated and can't play in New York per city mandate. Bill Plaschke, what are you buying, what are you selling from Kyrie Irving tonight and these Nets with Irving playing half games?
I think this is big. I think this is going to be like a midseason trade acquisition, a jolt of energy into a team that's been struggling. It'll be fewer minutes, more rest for Durant and for Harden. Their offense will run much, much better. 55% they're shooting off his assist. I think, and they are 11-3 when the three have played together the last 2 years. They win when they're together. They're going to take the top seed in the East as long as he stays healthy. Mm-hmm.
So they're the top seed in the East. You say they're struggling. The guy who covers the Lakers, 20-19, saying 23-12.
Well, other teams are
struggling. All right. Woody Page, how about you?
Well, the oddity, Bill, is that they play extremely well on the road. They may be the best road team in the league, but at home, they're basically a 500 team. So where they really need him is back in Brooklyn, not out on these games. He'll get to play in 22 games if he stays healthy throughout that period of time. And I think he's going to make a big difference because of what you said, that he can limit Durant and Harden in the number of minutes they're playing.
You have them as the one seed in the East now with Kyrie playing half duty?
Yes.
Thank you for the thought-out answer. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
But Woody, what you're suggesting is they should lose some games so they can fall down in the standings and play most of their playoff games on the road. I understand that. Very smart. Look, this is going to be fantastic. He'll be back. He's not coming back from injury. He's just coming back from not being able to play because of these COVID rules, which to me still don't make a whole lot of sense.
And Jun Lee.
Well, Kyrie's going to see the court a lot the next couple of weeks because 12 of the Nets' 18 next games are on the road. And so it's going to be interesting to see whether or not this trio gels together. I mean, they haven't played a lot of games together. Harden was traded to the Nets in January of last year. There's been a lot of injuries. Obviously, Kyrie hasn't been playing this year. Like, I'm not necessarily convinced that it's going to be kind of guns blazing right out of the gate here for this trio.
Bill, something you want to add?
Yeah, watch him against the Celtics last year in the playoffs. Yeah, they can gel together.
Ooh, right in the face. That was a little L.A. on Boston.
And that's your Celtics, June. That's your Celtics.
Buy or sell two. Could Jim Harbaugh leave Michigan for the NFL? According to The Athletic's Bruce Feldman, there are rumblings from both the NFL side and the Michigan side.
Woody, I go to you for rumblings. After the breakthrough versus Ohio State, but the loss to Georgia in the Final Four, can you see Harbaugh leaving? Buy or sell this.
Those rumblings are coming from my stomach. He's not going to leave Michigan. He's going to demand that he gets that $4 million that they made him give back next year. He looked at Mel Tucker and what he got in terms of salary and said, look what kind of season I had. He's not coming back to the NFL. He can't take NFL players to Florida and to Europe during the offseason.
Kevin Blackstone.
Well, he did take NFL players to the Super Bowl last I checked. I mean, you could argue
Woody,
that his resume
that?
As an NFL coach is better than his resume as a college coach. I don't think that he's leaving either, but after the season that he just had, beating Ohio State, getting to the semifinal game, what better time to leave than now?
Jun Lee, do you see it as a good time for Harbaugh to leave, that he kind of hit the limit that he can do at Michigan, or what are you buying, what are you selling?
I mean, I think KB is right in that he's in an enviable position to potentially leave, but I don't think that this is the same situation as every single other college coach because of the fact that Harbaugh is an alumni of Michigan, and he came there to rebuild that program. I think he's in a really good spot where he can kind of pick and choose his opportunities where, you know, if he wants to stay in Michigan, he can obviously do that, but he can wait for the right NFL opportunity to come around if he wants to eventually
NFL
leave.
Flash.
Look at Harbaugh's history, guys. He's always left places when he's at the peak of his performance. University of San Diego, San Francisco 49ers, Stanford, they were all winning championships. They all have great seasons. Then he left. He's reached his ceiling at Michigan. It is a perfect time to leave. Woody, you're absolutely wrong. He's a great NFL coach, 44-19-1. He'll go back to the NFL. I'm saying right now he's going back to the NFL.
Is that a Plaschke guarantee?
That's a guarantee.
Plaschke guarantee.
Buy or sell three, Novak Djokovic. This is an emerging international incident. Australian Open gave him the vaccination exemption so he could play. He's going for the Grand Slam record and his record 10th Australian Open win. Many prominent Australian athletes voiced their disapproval over this. Some thought he was getting preferential treatment. And now today, up until our tape time, it's been over 6 hours where he's been held at the airport in Melbourne. He wasn't initially allowed in because of the visa issue over the lack of vaccination. He's been in a room trying to answer questions were being heard, it's being reported. The prime minister of the country has publicly said they could put him back on a plane and turn him away. KB, how do you consider this all?
Oh, it's such a mess because Australia had some rules at a federal level, and now those rules are not being upheld because of considerations at a state level and considerations about this tennis tournament. And once again, we just talked about Kyrie Irving getting special treatment in the NBA. Here's a tennis player getting special treatment in Australia. It is quite the mess in Australia.
Well, Irving isn't really getting special treatment in the NBA. He lives in a city that has one rule, and then the rest of the country currently has a different rule.
Right, and that's exactly the same situation in Australia, where you have a state which has one rule and the federal government which has another rule, and somehow Djokovic is getting in between all of this.
Jun Lee.
Well, I think this is even messier than the Kyrie Irving situation, given the fact that the Prime Minister of Australia has had to chime in on this and has had to use their political power to weigh in on what's going to happen with Djokovic. I mean, Melbourne, more than any other city in the world, has spent more time in lockdown. They've been in lockdown 6 different times. And so this is such a complicated, messy situation. And I totally understand the hesitancy from Australians of allowing Novak Djokovic to have the exemption to come in and play there.
Flash. Can you imagine the terrible look it would be for the Australian government to allow an unvaccinated person of such high profile to come to the country under these conditions? Send him home. I got no time for him. He didn't get his vaccination. Go
you
home.
You question the exemption he was received then by the Australian Open, because there are people who have exemptions. Would he pay it you?
I think that what's being left out of all of this is it's a shame that a guy that's in a position to have the all-time major victories will not be able to A, play, but B, if he is able to play, he's going to be treated with a lack of respect by all the people going to the games.
Bill Flashy, June Lee, thanks for your thoughts today. Flashy guarantee that it's a Woody Page, Kevin Blackstone showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Woody Page, Kevin Blackstone in showdown. Oh, a Colorado story, Woody. Look how the Avs beat Chicago last night. A beauty of a goal from Cale Makar. The wheel pirouette to shake Kirby Doc, and then the kitchen sink to beat Marc-Andre Fleury to win it. Makar said it was a little bit of luck. Woody, luck or skill?
No, that was totally skill. He put the okey-doke on him. Did you see that play? And they threw lettuce on the ice because of Kale.
Right. You know I'm in favor of that, Stone. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Kale over lettuce. No, that was an incredible thing right there. You saw a new move that's coming to hockey everywhere. That was the Euro slide done by a Canadian.
Yeah, there's nothing Euro about it. He's Alberta's proud son. Point Woody Page showdown to Jacksonville. Uh-oh, Woody. You got a history here, too. Jaguars fans are reportedly planning a clown out to protest Shad Khan's ownership of the team, Mark Long of the Associated Press reports. So fans in costumes, clown masks, and clown paint. KB, how many fans are needed for this to work? And does dressing up like a clown to clown your team make you a clown, or does it make your team a clown?
Well, it does make you a clown, but the thing is, you got to have a whole lot of clowns, and you got to have a clown car as well. So unless they can get a clown car, this is really not going to count.
Woody Page?
Kevin, you're not going to get me to twist my mouth to say anything bad about Jacksonville 25 years.
After you were banned from the city? Yes.
But don't go after the owner. He did fire the coach.
Woody, take the FaceTime. 30 seconds. Start the year with a win.
At this time of the year, every year on this program, somebody will say Happy New Year. I think we need to change that tradition, get rid of it. But more importantly, I recommend that everybody say all year long, instead of Happy New Year, Healthy New Year. That's what we want this year. After the last 2 years, I think we're trying to enter this year where we could actually hope that people will be well all year long. Wouldn't that be something? That would be a happy
wonderful,
year.
Woody. Nice thought. Healthy New Year. Woody. But have a happy one too, Woody. We'll see you tomorrow around the horn.